Want to pull off the season's freshest trends? You just need the right shoes. That's where Designer Shoe Warehouse comes in. Loving wide-leg jeans? Pair them with sleek, low-profile sneakers. Obsessed with the sheer trend? Try it with mesh flats. Feeling boho? Comfy sandals nail the whole free-spirited thing. Find on-trend shoes from the brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at DSW.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
What's happening? There's some panel or something he's speaking at, which is why Jeff can't be with us today.
Perhaps. I'm not aware.
I'm looking forward to what Ed
got an interview request in.
So would love to catch up with Ed. Would love to see what's been going on. Maybe talk about, you know, ambitions. But we'll see. Anyway, we'll come back. Got Respect Burgers and then Jonah Dillon at 1:25 on Memphis Football. Stick around. Jason and John, Artie Trina Femi, ESPN.
You're the man, Leaders Credit Union, our wonderful studio sponsor. They're here for John and me. They're here for you, listeners. They're not-for-profit financial institutions fully owned by members. That means it's a big difference than a bank. They operate for your benefit as a member. 70,000-plus of them in West Tennessee. Growing. And as a member, you get better technology, like their new financial wellness tool. It's inside their online banking and mobile app. The money that they make as a credit union goes back into the technology, goes back into the credit union. That means back into you. It also means better rates for you. Home mortgages, buying a car doesn't have to be stressful. You can do that at Leaders. They're happy to help you. You can check out all the information at leaderscu.com/ESPN. I would also recommend their future Leaders savings accounts. So you get make them for the little ones. And it's a great way to start an account for them. They can see all the ways their money can grow with Leaders. Become a part of the family. Leaders is your financial champion for life, and they're federally insured by NCUA. Typically on Mondays, I pull out the big green egg. I warm that thing up. I build a fire, warm it up. And I throw some burgers on that grill. I season these differently than I used to do the ones at the Memphis Country Club. Though I season these with respect in a world full of disrespect. Let's do Respect Burgers.
Yes. It's that time. And, read some of these numbers off last week, but it continues to happen. And, again, this week we shall see if it happens again. But respect to Nike and to Ja Morant on the release of the Ja 3s. They've been out a while now, and you can't get a pair right now. They've been sold out and sold out quickly from, I'll say, WearTesters.com. It is a sneaker review platform. They gave the Nike Ja 3 a 9 out of 10 ranking, going even further to call it the shoe of the year. And some of the stats I was reading with Anthony saying on Friday, John, I want you to listen to this. The Ja has sold 421% more than the Ja 1 through its first full month.
Wow.
421%. They're also outselling the Ja 2s. They're also the resale value much higher. And the new colorway, ladies and gentlemen, because I've had a bunch of folks ask me because I managed to cop a pair for Chris that first week. New pair, the new colorway. It's called Price of Admission.
Okay.
You can go check it out on the Nike app right now. That drops on August 21st. Brad, what's the date today? August 18th?
Today is the 18th, so that's this week.
That's this week.
Huh.
So the new colorway drops on the 21st. It's not, I don't want to call it pink, but it's pinkish,
right.
Fluorescent. If you've seen it, I mean they're fire. I imagine they're going to go just as fast as the first ones did. But all credit to Nike, which has poured a ton into Ja Morant's world tour here, the Make 'Em Watch tour. Everybody's watching. We said last week. Now Ja's going to have them watching, and he's got them buying.
Now it's up to him. What are we watching? You got to be out there. You got to be out there 65 plus. That's what we want to watch. And for this thing to sell the way we think it's capable of, for world domination. You know what Ja told Nike, John, during this campaign? That 2025 is his year. This is his takeoff year. If it's all going to happen, he's got to be out there 65 plus. New price of admission, colorway, for those who have been asking, hey, man, where you get them Jaws? When can we get those Jaws? New Ja 3s drop on Thursday. That's August 21st. But shout out to Nike because they've created a marketing storm here with these shoes. And looks, we'll see again what it looks like on Thursday when the new ones drop. All right, moving on. This is news we discussed last week, too, but it's huge news here for Bartlett High right now and for DJ Okoth. Moved up to number 13 in the country over at ESPN. This is major. The ESPN 2028-25, they only ranked the top 25 prospects in the country. And Okoth, after a stellar grassroots season with Alabama Fusion on the EYBL circuit, jumped up from number 23 to 13. Why do I need to know about this, Jason? Because now as a rising sophomore, he is the highest ranked player in the state, regardless of classification, right here in your backyard, being coached right now by Deion Real. Brad and I, John, I think it was Brad and I, though, one off season, one year that one, I think it was last year, John, you were out. We had DJ in along with Braylon Williams, another highly ranked rising sophomore out at Bartlett. This one's big, though, because it's these types of prospects eventually that the, whether it's Tennessee Collegiate Academy, whether it's Montverde, will be after. DJ's got a 6'10 wingspan already, and he's just a rising sophomore at 6'6". So as I told Brad last week, he's got the body to go with it. So the rise of DJ Okoth is one of the things you're going to want to keep an eye on. Obviously, it's a guy that Memphis is going to be just, you know, kind of frothing at the mouth, Penny Hardaway to get. This one will be one of the big ones, it feels like, because he's got a chance to go top 10 in terms of country. McDonald's All-American, all that's on the table for a guy like DJ. So shout out to him. Prestigious jump here to go to number 13. That news happened last week. Could not give him the respect burger, though, till today. And then moving on, Memphis women's soccer. We haven't had a chance to mention it here this week. For the third consecutive time, they have beaten Ole Miss. Did it last night, 3-2. They won over Ole Miss. Flavie Dubé, I hope I'm pronouncing that correctly, Kitagawa, and Alex Mackey. Also had goals. All three had goals for that Tiger women's team. The win marked the 50th at the track and soccer stadium over there, which became the Tigers' home in 2019. That record now, 52-5. The five of the draws, only two losses. And last night's win, or yesterday's win, ran their unbeaten streak at home to 29 games. So Brooks Monaghan continues. They continue to be a powerhouse, open the season with a 6-0 win over Southern Miss. And once again, they dominated an Ole Miss team that you figure, you talk about, you know, resources and the haves and the haven'ts. Sure, Memphis in the group of five, you'd figure, all right, where are your resources look better? You're getting a new stadium. But compared to what the SEC should have, I don't know what Ole Miss's women's soccer program is like, but to have lost now three in a row to Memphis, it just shows you how good a program that Monaghan's running. And then moving on, I mentioned him earlier. I have to give it up to him, not just because he mentioned our teams, but I think he's on to something, particularly with the 49ers here. ESPN's Bill Barnwell has got a piece up over at ESPN.com about the five teams most likely to improve in the NFL in the 2025 season. We have mentioned two of them. They are our teams, the Chicago Bears and the Las Vegas Raiders. He was smart there, but I think he's even smarter in picking those Niners, John, who were 6-11 last year. Here's the other thing about the Niners that we left out about the conversation, man. And yeah, they got some issues at receiver right now with health, but it's the easiest schedule in the NFL. I'm going to repeat that. Their projected strength of schedule is the easiest in the NFL. So, you know, a worst to first, and especially if Stafford's going to have any kind of lingering back problems on into the season. I don't know about you guys. I mean, Seattle, you know, I'm not Sam Darnold repeating what he did in Minnesota. I'm not banking on that. Arizona's a sneaky pick. They're a sneaky one in the West. That thing is obviously on the come up over there. But I could easily see the 49ers jumping back up. The other two teams he mentions among those five, the New York Giants. And that's going to be tough because they have the toughest schedule in the NFL. They also have a defense that could be top 10, maybe even higher. Jeffrey Wright can tell you more about that defense. We'll see. It depends on how soon they get to Jackson Dart and whether they because I don't think Russell Wilson can keep them contenderish. It depends on how soon they get to Jackson Dart and what level he can play at in a rookie year. And then the other one was that the Jacksonville Jaguars,
who might be, you were looking for your AFC South champion. We talked about the Texans have questions, particularly at offensive line.
Yep.
Is Jacksonville ready to go from 4-13 last year to division winner?
I mean, it's on the table.
Travis Hunter's there, along with B-Rob.
Yeah. I mean, they have the talent. So it's. I think that could happen for sure. The fact that they were worse is it they were worse than the Titans?
Yes. No, I mean, last year? Yeah. No, Titans had the number one pick in the draft,
right,
bro. No, they were not worse.
Yeah.
This is not all of these guys finished worse. This is the five teams best to sort of
I mean, they were
positioned
I mean,
to make a rise.
Is like you're close to the worst, but yeah, I mean, I think
the Giants were 3-14. They were worse. 49ers were worse in their division at 6-11, and then the Bears at 5-12 were worse.
How many games the Titans?
You guys too at 4-13.
Yeah, no, we can't win the AFC West.
Yeah,
but yeah, I mean the Jags. I mean, I honestly can't believe they only won four games last year. I guess Trevor got hurt at some point,
and everything came off the rails.
Yeah, but it wasn't like it was looking great before that even. So yeah, I don't know, man. I
think Barnwell's at least four of the five that are, and you guys may be the one out. Y'all might finish back. What was it, five last year?
Yeah, sounds about right. Yeah, maybe four.
Just because of your division.
Yeah, it was pretty bad.
Every team in that, you could go 0-6 and still be an improved team. You could go 0-6 in the division, still be an improved Raiders team.
Absolutely. Absolutely. That's why it kind of stinks, because if we were in any other division, it would be a lot different. Like if the Raiders were in any other division, there would be like a path to second at least, you know? And now you got to go through the Chargers, the Broncos, just to get to second.
You believe in the Broncos? You don't think they've been overhyped?
No, I don't.
That their defense will be like historically good.
I don't know.
And they have a hell of an offensive line.
I just kind of believe in Peyton. I just kind of believe in that dude. Like he's good. He's really good. So I think Bo's gonna have a big year. I do. I feel like that. They just have depth at every position. You know, they're pretty damn loaded. They're not like jump off the page at you, but like it's just like they're coached well, and they do have some skill position like that RJ Harvey guy. Came out last night or two nights ago and had a touchdown, you know, Tud Ball. Like when you have a coach like Sean Payton, all things are possible. It's like Harbaugh too, same way. Either one, I don't care. Pick one, Jim or John. Jimmy John.
Titans won three games last year, you asked.
Yeah.
On Jacksonville four.
All right.
Division.
Combine them. Still can't get to over 500.
Yeah, Texans were 10-7. They took a real step back.
They did.
We'll see what that looks like for year three for Stroud, but. There's an opportunity there for the Jaguars. I'm in agreement with you to make a real move.
Yeah, I don't think they can be expected to be much better because they did not. I don't know who their number one receiver. I guess Nico. I'm unconvinced. I'm unmoved. Tank Dell's hurt. Offensive line not addressed. Running back Mixon's hurt. I know they brought in Chubb. I mean, both those guys might get hurt. So your run game might stink. So it's just put a lot on CJ. It's kind of like Burrow-esque. He has a much better defense. But in terms of, like, go out there and make some magic, kid, it's kind of like Burrow-esque without Ja'Marr Chase and T. Higgins. So I don't know. I don't know. Maybe Jaden Daniels would be the more appropriate comparison there because, I mean, they brought him some help with Debo Samuel, but it was really just kind of Terry and nothing else. Like, go out there and figure it out. So, and he did. I mean, he got into the NFC Championship game, but – It feels like they should be doing more right by C.J. Stroud, and it feels like they're kind of wasting the years here a little bit because he's eventually, very soon, maybe after this year, right, going to get that deal. Would it be next offseason? 23 is his first year.
In terms of when he's eligible? Yeah.
25 is his third. So, I mean, we're coming up on it. I believe it'd be after this year. So he's going to get paid a lot of money, and it's going to restrict what they can do. And you're going to look back and say after 2023, when he sets the rookie record, has the playoff win, you know, you're going to say, you know,
if he keeps taking steps back, are you so quick to sign him before the end of year four? Yeah, I'm assuming you have the fifth year option on him as a first round quarterback.
Right.
If he takes another step back this year, you running to sign him yet?
Now, yeah.
You might be smart to do so because maybe you get him at a little bit less and
not the
rate that is the highest paid quarterback in the NFL. But we'll see.
I mean, I think you could easily just blame it on his offensive line. I mean,
a lot of it's that.
He lost Tunzel. Tunzel's gone now, so he's got nothing.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's going to be running for his life type stuff. 2023, when he was a rookie.
On him. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, he had a pretty solid offensive line. He had some weapons, and he was just unbelievable. Although I guess you could say that he has won two playoff games in his career. So they are winning playoff games with C.J. Stroud. I mean, it's hard to, I mean, you can't, we'd all love a Super Bowl, but if you're winning playoff games.
In the AFC.
Yeah. Like, that's pretty good. You know, I mean, it's pretty damn good. I don't know how much more you could ask for from a guy, in the, like you said, in the AFC with Mahomes there and everybody, you know, Lamar there and
Josh
Allen there. I mean, pretty tough. It is kind of a weird existence. Like I talk about in the Raiders in the AFC West, like even if you're an AFC team, knowing that you're going to have to go through one of Josh Allen, Lamar, Pat every year just to make a Super Bowl.
Mm-hmm.
Forget winning a Super Bowl. That's kind of crazy.
Harbaugh ain't scared. I don't think Peyton is either.
I don't think so.
So there's some that may be up to the task.
But like Burrow, you know. Well, we didn't even mention him.
Y'all act like he's got to score every time out there because you won't give him a defense.
Well, he's going to. He's going to have to score.
It was foolish to play him in the preseason. Like, that's the issue.
Yeah.
It's not.
Stop
something.
I mean, it's crazy that we didn't even mention Burrow. I mean, that was supposed to be like 2021, right? That was supposed to be the beginning. And in many ways, it's been the end because they had to pay him and they lost. I don't know who's on their defense, but obviously it's not nearly as good as it was.
One of the worst.
Yeah.
But still had the sack leader, though.
Right.
And you may not have him this year.
Well, and they're asking
that could
for
only get worse.
A ransom. Mm-hmm. So they're not going to – I don't know what they're going to do. I guess he's going to have to hold out. But that's just another year on his career that he's, you know, not going to play. And he's already 30.
That's not ideal for a guy his age.
So, anyway, yeah, it's going to be fun. Fun NFL season coming up. But we also have a college football season that's going to be here before that. Where are we, 2 weeks away?
Less than two weeks away.
That is nuts.
August 30th will be the opener for Memphis versus Chattanooga.
All right. Well, we'll talk to Tony Dillon from the Commercial Appeal about Memphis football. Cortez Brand was added to the roster today. Latest on that, where he expects Memphis to finish, how this is all going to come together. We'll do that when we get back. Jason and John, 90 FM, ESPN.
Jonah Dillon is the Tigers football beat writer for the Commercial Appeal. He does it all for the CA. You can follow Jonah and his work on X at the Jonah Dillon. Read him at commercialappeal.com. We are less than 2 weeks from the Tigers season opener versus Chattanooga. He's got a story up right now over commercialappeal.com about the Tigers' new addition, or certainly they are hoping so, one that could be particularly impactful for the offense. First of all, Jonah, welcome. Appreciate you coming on. And then secondly, tell us how potentially impactful Cortez Bram, that's the pronunciation I'm going with. You can correct me if I'm wrong. How impactful could he be if he's out there for a whole season for Brendan Lewis in this Memphis offense?
Yeah, okay. So first of all, Braham.
There
we go. Hopefully, and if you're a Tiger fan, hopefully a name that you'll hear a lot this season. Looks like number four is going to be his number. So number four, Braham. You know, this is college sports nowadays, so getting to know names and numbers less than 2 weeks before the season opener, I guess, is how it is now, and obviously not a usual situation. I think the question with Cortez Braham is, you know, how long is it going to take him to kind of get up to speed? Because you can sit here and look at his production and say, like, this guy probably should be their number one receiver. Now, that probably says something about the rest of that receiving room. But at the same time, we don't know where he is in terms of, you know, what kind of shape he's in, how long it's going to take him to get into the playbook. Obviously, he came from Nevada, so he has a relationship with Brendan Lewis, which is a huge part of it. But there are going to be a lot of questions, I think, until we see him on the field and see how quickly he's assimilated and things like that. But the potential there is for this guy to be the number one receiver. I think it's definitely there. And I think there's reason to believe that maybe in a couple weeks into the season, once he kind of gets his legs under him, this is a guy who's going to play a huge role for this team.
In terms of Brendan Lewis, Jonah, and like, what does success look like for him as a quarterback of this offense? Like, is it going to be just prolific, you know, running up numbers? Is it simply just like getting the line of scrimmage and using his experience to sort of read defenses and not make mistakes? Like, what's going to be asked of him in this offense this year?
Yeah, I think that's kind of one of the things that's going to define how we look back at this season. I think the first thing is, obviously, I mean, this is a cliche with quarterbacks, but it's going to be wins. And this is somebody who's never won in his career, right? So this is like, that's going to be a big thing for this team. Obviously, they have high expectations in terms of where they should be in the conference. And he's somebody who's coming in and and has not won, had a winning season anywhere that he's been so far. And this is his sixth season of college football. So that's a big part of it. I think in the offense, like, you're going to see a lot more quarterback run stuff. That's his skill set. It's obviously not something that you saw a ton of with Seth Hennigan. And so I think a lot of it is going to come down to kind of decision-making. How much are they going to give him at the line of scrimmage? I think that's a big question, because by the time Seth Hennigan was in his senior year last year, he was making legitimate checks at the line of scrimmage. They gave him a lot of responsibility. And now you've got Brendan Lewis coming in, who's, by the way, a year older than Seth Hennigan, but has not been in the system, obviously. And so how much they trust him at the line of scrimmage, I think, is something to watch in the first couple games. And then how much he can kind of do things that are different and give Memphis a different dynamic than they've had the past couple of years. That's going to be the question throughout the rest of the season.
It feels like, Jonah, and I want to know what you think, that there's an opportunity to get maybe potentially really creative Tim Kramsey in terms of this run game, right? With Greg and with Sutton Smith behind Lewis in this case. And then, as you've mentioned, Lewis's ability to run. I know a lot of folks are looking at RPO stuff, but Ryan, too, is a former run game coordinator. I just, you know, Brad and I were trying to talk this through last week after Lewis was named the starter, and it just feels like there's an opportunity. Maybe you're not as explosive in terms of your passing game the way you've been in years prior, but with this run game, maybe it leads just because it looks like you'll have a bunch of options to go to back there.
Yeah, I mean, to me, that's going to be the offense this year. I think it's all about those two running backs.
Yes.
And then obviously the way that Brendan Lewis complements them. If this team can't run the ball, I think that's it. I think that this is going to be, like, in the past couple of years, it's kind of the opposite. Last year, where, like, they didn't run the ball because the defense was basically begging them to,
yep.
Saying, you know, we're just going to sit back, so do whatever you want. I think with this team, it's going to be the opposite. I think they're going to dare teams to try to throw the ball down the field. But if they can't establish the run early in all these games because of the talent that those two guys have, I think they're going to struggle a lot, because then you're going to see different types of defenses, obviously. But and that's the strength of this offense. Those two guys, Greg DeWizzie and Sutton Smith, I mean, those are both home run hitter type running backs. We've seen what they can both do in pretty limited action the past couple of years. And so health is going to be a question for both of them. But if they're both healthy, like, that's going to be the engine of this team, I think, is them kind of tag teaming it back and forth throughout drives and playing together, lining up in the slot, things like that. And if those two guys aren't healthy, or if things aren't working out in the run game, I think that there's a lot of reasons to be concerned about this thing.
Yeah, I'm just wondering, man, if you can have Cortez out there for a full year, and I know that what is the, I guess, because you spent a great deal of time on it, that the idea that he'll be ready for the opener, but what's the optimism level that you'll have him for the whole season with the some of the NCAA stuff still pending? Clear that up for me, Jonah.
Yeah, so he should be, as of now, eligible to play, right? So there's this legal case that's ongoing, and as we all know, these things are extremely complicated. I would say it's obviously not the same, but it's similar to the Diego Pavia case in the sense that the Diego Pavia case is still ongoing. Like, they're still litigating that, but he's obviously eligible to play right now. So I think it would be pretty surprising if Cortez Braham was, at some point in the season, they said, hey, you're not eligible anymore. They're going to continue with these things. Now, obviously, a lot of these cases, it's kind of like, what's the point of continuing to litigate them if the guy's already going to play the whole season? And there is, some people would say, because of the precedent and all these cases. But right now they're operating like this guy's going to be able to play, and he's going to play. And I would expect that, obviously, we'll continue to follow it, and I'll continue to read through all these super fun legal documents. But yeah, for now, I think that's where we are.
When you sort of look at the landscape around the league, Jonah, we talk about it all the time. I mean, Memphis is the most well-funded program in the group of however many conferences it is now. And yet, you know, look, I understand that they are replacing quite a bit, but that's the world that we live in now. You're going to be replacing people all the time, whether you're Memphis or Tulane or Boise State or whatever the case may be. So when you sort of look around and you see the schedule that Memphis has with most of these swing games at home, should it not be, you know, very reasonable for Memphis to make an appearance in the conference championship game? Like, I feel like it's almost sacrilege for me to say that Memphis should be in the conference championship game, but, like, should it be based on their funding and the games that they have and where they're being played this year?
Yeah, I mean, I think that's a fair expectation. I think really, like you said, with this conference, what it is now and the resources that Memphis has, like, that should be the expectation every year. And I know, obviously, that this has been unique this offseason in terms of the amount of guys they've lost. But look, last year, that was the expectation, and they didn't make it there, obviously, and they brought everybody back. And then you look at the guys they brought in, yes, they're all new faces, but in terms of talent, in terms of money, like, this is a more talented team than you're going to see in the rest of the conference, right? I mean, Tulane's bringing a lot of guys back, And I think it's fair to pick them to be the number one team right now in the conference. But Memphis, in terms of talent, is right up there, and should the expectation should be there, especially like you said, with getting a lot of those games at home, is you should be able to be in that position to go to the conference championship game. And I think honestly, like, we're going to go into most seasons, assuming Memphis is still in this conference, saying that, like, this, it's hard for me to imagine a situation where we go into a season for football in this conference and we say, like, oh, Memphis shouldn't be in that conversation, unless there's some crazy amount of investment with other teams. I think they should be there every year.
Well, so let me, I'm going to ask you to sort of speculate a little bit, but do you think behind the scenes, like away from microphones and away from cameras, that Memphis football believes it's fair to expect them to make the conference championship game this season? Do you think they believe that that's a fair baseline? Because I think they do not believe that behind closed doors, but I could be wrong.
Well, I think they believe they can get there. I don't know, obviously, in terms of the perception. I think, look, if you can easily see, right, if this season, let's say they lose a couple games early, obviously the conversation is going to be, well, this was a transitional year, right? And like, in retrospect, maybe it is. That's the thing. You look back on these things, and maybe if they, you know, in 3 years, they made the conference championship game the last 2 years, you say, well, it was a transitional year, but it benefited them a lot. So I think that maybe there's some people who would believe that and say, like, look, it's a transitional year. But again, you're starting a six-year quarterback who has 1 year of eligibility, right? And so that tells me that, look, we believe that this team is good enough to compete at that level. And that's why we're kind of going in with this guy, and we're not going to go with a developmental player, which obviously the two other quarterbacks are options. And it makes sense. Again, the experience you've heard it with Brendan Lewis compared to the other guys. But that decision, I think, signals, and it's been clear that it's been trending that way for a long time, that decision, I think, signals they believe they can get there this year.
I'm so glad you went to the two and the three, or potentially the two and the three, Arrington Maiden and A.J. Hill, because I've wondered, Jonah, I'm looking at this as a potential subplot here, because we've talked about the investment you've put into getting the four-star that is A.J. Hill, and we've talked about how good Arrington Maiden's looked just about every opportunity, and I wondered when I read you this, and saw from Silverfield that, no, after even the Lewis news, not going to name a two or three, if this was a first step, perhaps, in trying to retain the both of them. I've kind of, you know, framed it as, I don't know if you can keep a Arrington Maiden if you're going to have A.J. Hill and want to incorporate him in some stuff. I just wondered, do you think at some point we get to a 1-2-3, or is this sort of saying to both of them, you've both been great and we could see a future for both of you here, and trying to keep both?
Yeah, I mean, I think to the second part, I think that definitely, if you said right now, what's the ideal situation like going into next season, it would be that both of those guys are still here and are both competing for that spot and are legitimately the two guys competing for that spot. Like, I think, you know, you can never tell what's going to happen, but if everything goes well this season, obviously Brendan Lewis out of eligibility, maybe they would bring in somebody who had some experience, but not somebody who they think is going to compete with those two guys. Let them compete, and then that's your quarterback for the next year. Now, is that going to happen? Are you going to be able to retain both those guys? It's tough to say, but that is a balancing act that they've got to think about throughout this season. I think the thing I would think about in terms of who's a backup, Arrington Maiden is much closer in terms of his play style to Brendan Lewis,
okay. And
A.J. Hill really is not. He's different. So, look, maybe they'll name him the backup or whatever it is, but if you're talking about in-game, some sort of adjustment, like let's say Brendan Lewis gets hurt and they have to bring somebody in, it would be a lot less jarring in terms of offensive style to go to Arrington Maiden than it would to go to A.J. Hill. Now, if you had a whole week to prepare knowing someone was out, maybe it'd be a different story. And maybe that's the conversation that they've had internally of like, hey, this is the guy we'd put in right here. But maybe if we had to pivot for the rest of the season, it would be a different conversation. And so I think that's probably part of it, too.
Yeah, like I'm so fascinated by this because I think it's one of those things where, you know, if you play the year out and A.J. Hill is whatever he is, whether he's the two or the three, I don't know how much it's up ultimately mattering. But if it goes the way it goes and Brendan Lewis plays the entire year and A.J. Hill, you know, doesn't really see a lot of reps and he transfers and he goes somewhere else, like, would you ever do that again? Like, would you? I mean, it's almost like you can't. I mean, how can I recruit a four-star freshman, him sit on my bench, and I just lose him in a year because he's disgruntled that he didn't play? Like, it's really a tough situation for any staff to try to navigate.
Yeah, and then it's like, I would be interested, like, let's say he did that. Like, what would his market be like? Because we know his market was, you know, legit Power 4, Florida, all those types of schools were after him.
Yep.
But some of these guys, you see them go to a place and, like, look at Malachi Nelson. He was the number one recruit in the country
yep.
a couple years ago at USC. And now he's battling, he hasn't played anywhere. Now he's battling for a starting job at UTEP. So it's like, what are the options that are out there for you, even if you do that, once you decide, here's where I'm going to go. You know, it's one thing to go to Memphis and be a starter, but then who knows what happens next. And so I think that's part of it as we kind of get toward the end of the season as well.
I actually think that's like a really interesting thing to explore because, you know, his market can't be that great because I think if I was a Power Four staff, you know, and I would say, you know, you couldn't even beat out Brennan Lewis. You couldn't even beat out a guy that has played 6 years and won four games. You know, I know you're a freshman, but if you were really that guy to where, you know, I'm supposed to be expected to fork over seven figures for your NIL or whatever the case may be, and you couldn't beat out Brennan Lewis at Memphis, you probably are not that guy.
Yeah, that's why it's so hard is like if he was going to go to the other school that was his finalist was Florida, right? And so if he went to Florida, obviously he's not playing this year.
Right.
And
that's
really
right.
Like when is he going to play? So on one hand, you know, you're developing in that system and they'll say, hey, look, when Lagwe leaves, like you're the guy, whatever
right.
that is. But it might be the same situation. You might turn around a couple of years and say, like, I don't see a pathway here, or they recruit over you, and then you're in the same problem. And so that's why
that's right.
I think it's hard to know. We look at the end of the season, is he going to go in the portal? How is he going to feel? Like, it's really about what's out there, what his market is.
I think, in a way, I hate to say it like this, but like, I think for the longevity of his career, and I hate to say it, we might look back and say that it was a mistake for him to come here because if he doesn't hack it here and then he has to hit the open market, like, you could have sold a program on sitting behind DJ Lagwe. And so I couldn't get past DJ Lagwe on the depth chart, you know. You're not going to be able to sell a staff on I couldn't get past Brennan Lewis, you know what I'm saying? So I feel like, you know, it ultimately maybe the short term was good for him, but I don't know, the long term I think is very much questionable if he can't show, you know, anything here.
Jonah, are you expecting 3-0 start going into Arkansas, and how much of a chance, you know, I realize it's early and Arkansas's got its, you know, everything it's got to worry about with the SEC, but how much of a chance would you give a 3-0 Memphis team at that point? Let's just say that, you know, what you've done in the run game looks pretty good. Cortez is out there. He's helping keep defenses honest, at least with a decent enough passing game, because how familiar he is with Brennan Lewis. If they go 3-0, how much of a chance you giving them against Arkansas?
Yeah, I think I give them a good chance. I mean, look, they should go 3-0. You're talking about Georgia State and Troy. Obviously, you go on the road, weird stuff happens. And certainly Memphis has played a lot of close games against teams that it should not be playing close games against in the past couple years. And so, you know, like, yes, trap game, whatever, but they should beat those teams. Arkansas, like, I don't really believe in that team and in the SEC. Now, obviously, they could be bad in the SEC and still be good enough to win non-conference games. I don't see that team being some, you know, they come into Memphis and just dominate. Like, I think that really Memphis has every opportunity to win that game. And especially if you are 3-0, then you're in a situation where, like, you've got some momentum behind you. And I think that game is going to be competitive. I think Memphis could definitely win it. And then from there, it'd be really interesting to see how they, you know, you got a week turnaround and suddenly it's conference play. I think there could be a lot of momentum behind this thing as they get to that point.
Jonah, great stuff
really
as always.
Thank you, brother. Great stuff.
Yeah, thanks.
Appreciate you.
Here's Jonah Dillon, covers Memphis Ball for the Commercial Appeal. Yeah, that A.J. Hill one is going to be interesting. Because when you don't play a Florida, I can chalk that up. You didn't play a Florida in front of DJ Lagwe. When you don't play a Memphis, it's going to kill your market.
I mean, there are just so few freshmen starting under center to start. And even in this, we talked about with Seth. I mean, Seth was, like we said, might be the last of Mohicans guys that come and get that chance. And I'll just say, with Brendan having 35, 36, whatever it is, starts, literally Arrington and AJ haven't thrown a pass.
No, that's true.
And you're in at a program that has to win to the level of a Boise State or a Tulane in terms of the expectation. You got John Martin on the radio saying, hey, we got to make a conference title game. And what, you know, some coaches would call a reset year.
Right.
I just think folks understand, even as talented as he is, you know, you probably got to work. Man, I don't know. I think keeping him, retaining him, one of the biggest subplots to see. You have more invested in him than you do in Arrington Maiden. Maybe
that's
there's
right.
a way to keep both.
Yeah.
Maybe there's not. I hear what you're saying, though, in terms of market. Oh, that's not that impressive. But most folks understand. You're starting a transfer, you know.
Yeah.
You're starting that last year guy, usually, if your other two options are guys that haven't thrown a pass.
Yep.
In college football.
Yeah, and let's see how the year plays out, right? I mean, there could be a scenario where he does start. I mean, you know, you never know. You never know. I mean, Brennan Lewis may come in and not be that good.
Seems to me if they're going to go to a more pass-first offense, that's AJ. So if they decide at some point,
Because like he said, Maine's more like Brendan Lewis.
Yep.
If they decide at some point they have to scrap that type of offense,
yeah,
that's when AJ comes in. He's the get the ball down the field guy. Mm. It's completely different. And so you've at that point, maybe you've changed gears, like I talked about with Brad. If this season's going off the rails, you've lost one of those first three, you're losing to Arkansas, there's probably not a chance you're going to win the conference.
Yep.
Bro, I'm switching it over to Hill at that point and saying, bro, you're my quarterback.
That's right.
You know, and again, how his family feels, how much left is going to play into, but I would at that point, I'm investing in him for next year already.
Well, and look, so, there's a lot of recent history in this program with starting freshman quarterbacks. Three of the last four did it. Fuente did it. Porter did it with Ryan Williams. Remember him? And obviously Ryan Silverfield has done it. Norvell's had inherited, well, he didn't inherit, but he went out and got Riley Ferguson, and then he brought in Brady White. But Silverfield's already started a freshman. Fuente started Paxton Lynch. Larry Porter started running. So there is a history of that happening here. I think they will definitely give Brendan Lewis the first shake, see how well he plays.
Fuente is a different time with lower expectations.
There's
so
no
you
doubt.
Could get away
There's
with no you could get away yeah. with that. This is it. This is a four-star now. That's yeah. why I go yeah, back yeah, to yeah. where you could here
right.
because of what's
if,
invested.
If he comes
You're
out the gate and
seven
struggles.
Figures.
Yeah.
I mean, it's, you know. There's a lot more, but it was different time for Fuente back then. In terms of
oh,
the
right.
expectation level we have on Memphis,
and,
you got to win.
And by the way, he's,
you gotta
he's
be 3-0.
Still
you got to be 4-0.
Hammered, even with the expectations.
Yeah, plenty of folks saying he shouldn't be. Playing.
You know, so it's not like, but I don't think there would be that groundswell of support for Brendan Lewis because he's never had success anywhere. You know, so I think if there's a scenario here where in the first 4 weeks he comes in and he doesn't light the world on fire and Memphis offense kind of stalls out, you know. I think they could look into it. I think they could entertain it. If I don't know how he's looked in practice, you know, maybe he's not looked great in practice.
Cramsey's smart. That's what we were saying last week. This run game they have has got a chance to be real creative and real tough to stop.
Yep.
And having Cortez Braham here, again, doesn't make you a 300-yard passing game per game team, but it can absolutely be a thing that helps balance you out in terms of those defense, keeps that run game going, and prevents defense just stacking the box on you. This can be a good enough offense taking a step back from the top 15 offense it's been the last 2 years.
Right.
Still going to be about can you get stops.
Yep. All right, we'll come back, wrap this up on a Monday. Jason and John, Trying to Fam, ESPN.
This season, let your shoes do the talking. Designer Shoe Warehouse is packed with fresh styles that speak to your whole vibe without saying a word. From cool sneakers that look good with everything to easy sandals you'll want to wear on repeat, ESW has you covered. Find a shoe for every you from the brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, New Balance, and more. Head to your DSW store or visit DSW.com today.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law. No matter why you give, your donations can do so much more. With a donor-advised fund from DAF Giving 360, you can potentially grow your charitable dollars tax-free and give now or over time by donating cash, publicly traded securities, or non-cash assets like real estate and crypto. With over 25 years of expertise bringing donors, financial advisors, and charities together, DAF Giving 360 can help you make a greater impact. Learn more at DAFGiving360.org.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features Swift Rinse Tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
Well, we've officially hit that time. It's snacky hour at Sonic. Anybody that visits Sonic Snacky Hour will get dollar corn dogs, dollar mozzarella sticks, dollar soft pretzel twists, drink rewards in the Sonic app. And the Sonic Snacky Hour is going to go from 2 to 5 every day. Live free, eat Sonic. Exclusion supply, limited time offer at participating locations.
Got to try the Pickle Rita Slush as well. We're doing the pickles over at Sonic. It's pickle time. Get that smasher of grills, pickles, and dilly ranch. You'll absolutely love it. If that's not enough pickle for you, again, try that Pickle Rita Slush. As John said, the key is, this is why Sonic's always packed from 2 to 5. It's the time to get over there and take advantage of all the deals. And as John said, you get the dollar corn dogs, the dollar mozzarella sticks, and the dollar soft pretzel twist all during that snacky hour. So it's Sonic. They've got all the options. Live free. Eat Sonic.
Thanks to Jonah Dillon for joining us on the show today. Always appreciate the Memphis football breakdowns. Hey, man, it's good to be back, dog.
It's good to have you back.
We're here. We're 10 toes down for football season.
Get your fantasy picks ready.
Get your fantasy picks
ready. Because that's coming up on you.
Hogan hit me up in Vegas, and I was too delirious to really help.
Now you're back.
Now I'm back.
Get your team.
Looking forward to it.
George is in.
Thanks, George. Going to do it for us today. Jeffrey and company up next. Don't miss it. For Jason, I'm John. We're gone.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy. No matter why you give, your donations can do so much more. With a donor-advised fund from DAFGiving 360, you can potentially grow your charitable dollars tax-free and give now or over time by donating cash, publicly traded securities, or non-cash assets like real estate and crypto. With over 25 years of expertise bringing donors, financial advisors, and charities together, DAFGiving 360 can help you make a greater impact. Learn more at DAFGiving360.org.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, Swift Rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.